This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll tear your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective with three fans who know how to talk some trash.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Ajay Salveson.
I'm feeling such an odd mixture of pride and mortal terror.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change, without passion, and without logic.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Welcome back, everyone, to Turnbuckle Trash. Hi, I'm Dave Denton, Turnbuckle Trash host, and we're going to have a great show for you today. We're going to be talking some of the aftermath of Money in the Bank. We'll have Chris on the mat to discuss that. Plus, we'll be talking to a man who went to a WWE event for the very first time. His twin brother is a huge fan, but he not so much. But we talked to him about his experience and whether he is a fan or not. And the guy happens to work with me at the radio station, too. So we're going to be doing that. Plus, we'll have some news and information. It's all coming up on this edition of Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
The greatest wrestler in the history of wrestling? He was so good that he wore an outfit with the word fair play written across it. Like, I'm so good, I don't even need to cheat to beat you. It's kind of my idol.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
I sentenced them to deletion.
Depends over to diapers.
Delete.
We're going to start off this edition of Turnbuckle Trash with a little news and some notes from the world of professional wrestling. And we'll get into that right now. A sad note to start things off. One of my favorite big men to ever get into the squared circle, Van Vader, passed away on June the 18th. Now, according to his son, Leon White, his given name, had heart surgery twice this year and contracted pneumonia, which was just too much for his body to handle. Vader, who also played in the NFL as Leon White for the Rams, started his professional wrestling career in the mid-1980s. He started with the old AWA in Bern Gagne's promotion. Then he went to New Japan, became a huge star there as the masked man Big Van Vader. He went on to become one of the world's biggest stars and most feared competitors. Vader then transitioned to World Championship Wrestling, where he would make the biggest mark of his career. He had rivalries with Sting and Ron Simmons and more. He became the three-time WCW champion in the process. Vader went to the WWE in 1996 and also had some recurring roles on the TV program Boy Meets World. Now, a lot of people might remember Van Vader had a gruesome injury in a match with Big Stan Hansen. This occurred in 1990 when a stiff blow actually broke Vader's nose. And the two started kind of going at it just a little bit with very stiff moves. Not fighting each other, but just stiff moves. And then it happened. Somehow, Stan Hansen poked Van Vader in the eye and poked his eye out. Yes, the left eye actually came out of the socket. Van Vader just pushed it back in and continued wrestling. He was a great performer. And now for the legendary Big Van Vader. It's time. It's Vader time for the 10 bells.
It's time! It's Vader time!
Thank you. The WWE continues to do really good work outside of the ring with Special Olympics. They are going all in for Special Olympics this year. Lots of videos that are being placed on WWE program featuring the Big Show talking to Special Olympic athletes. It's a really good thing. I had a chance to watch The Undercover Boss on CBS with Stephanie McMahon. Now, they put her a blonde wig on, and they put some other prosthetics on her face, and it kind of looked out like her, but it didn't. Now, it wasn't a traditional undercover boss, the kind that I've watched in the past, because she really didn't go undercover at the WWE. That segment, that entire show of Undercover Boss on CBS, featuring Stephanie McMahon, was the highest-rated program on all network TV that night. Wrestling fans, boy, when something special goes on, you're going to watch it, aren't you? The WWE has announced they're going to be going to Australia on Saturday, October the 6th. The big thing that comes out of that news will be the return of The Undertaker versus Triple H. Rey Mysterio, who made a surprise return to the WWE earlier this year in 2018 at the Royal Rumble match, and return once again for the greatest Royal Rumble. But what is going on behind the scenes? Will there be a contract with Rey? Well, that is still to be determined. However, it looks like Rey Mysterio Jr. got a big honor by the city of San Diego on June the 19th. Think that a little bit. 619. Rey Mysterio was declared Rey Mysterio Day in San Diego on June the 19th, 619. Of course, the 619 is the area code for San Diego. 619, not to be confused with Rob Van Dam's 420. Charlotte Flair, the Queen, will be featuring ESPN the magazine's body issue that's coming out this month, where she will don body paint and strategically placed items where basically she's naked. But body paint more hiding it. It's something they do every year. It's not pornographic. You might want to check it out. It is going to be released on June the 29th. ESPN, the magazine, the body issue is coming out. Also in that will be NFL Hall of Famer Jerry Rice and Olympic figure skater Adam Rippon in this year's edition. Ronda Rousey, by the way, did pose for that magazine in 2012, but she was with UFC at the time. No spoilers here, but evidently there has been a change in the NXT tag team titles in Europe. We'll have more on that coming up in the next podcast. Dave Metzler of the Wrestling Observer Radio is reporting that one of my favorites on Impact Wrestling, yes, the namer of dummies, Eli Drake.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
Has signed a new contract with Impact.
Dummy.
Yeah.
There had been speculation that he would be going to the WWE, but there also was talk about Eli saying, why would I want to step backwards in the way I am presented as a star? He cited Bobby Roode's treatment by the WWE. And this week, Impact Wrestling will see the debut of Rich Swann. Now, if you remember, Rich was a WWE 205 competitor, got in some trouble with some allegations of spousal abuse, but he has re-signed now with Impact Wrestling. By the way, his wife works for Impact, and his wife was the one that had made the allegations before, but she said nothing really happened. So they've worked that out. Rich Swann will be part of Impact Wrestling. ROH is getting ready for the Best in the World coming up on June the 29th in Baltimore, Maryland. They have a great main event. Boy, I'm actually thinking of getting Best in the World from ROH as a pay-per-view because this looks good. Main event for the World Championship, the champion, Dalton Castle with the boys versus the American Nightmare versus the villain, Marty Scurll. The storyline has Scurll and Cody kind of butting heads, both being members of the Bullet Club. Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championship will be on the line with one of my favorite tags of all time, Briscoe, taking on the Young Bucks. That should be a barn burner. That's two matches that I just absolutely would love to see. Ring of Honor World Six-Man Tag Team Championship in the Kingdom, Matt Taven, TK O'Ryan, and Vinny Marcella against a team from Japan, Bushi, Evil, and Sanada. And Jay Lethal takes on Kushida in kind of a grudge match. They have wrestled a couple of times before. Each one has beaten the other. They always put on a great show. Jay Lethal and Kushida should be another good one. Stepping back into the ring officially for the first time since his, quote, retirement, is Bully Ray. Bully Ray will be stepping into the ring against Flip Gordon, a fairly new competitor who has a lot of upside. So Bully Ray, Flip Gordon, will be at Best of the World. Punishment Martinez, man, this guy is going to be a huge star. He's going to be taking on another guy who has nothing but an upside, the Hangman, Adam Page. Two young stars battling it out, Best of the World. And then the Women of Honor Championship will be also defended at Best of the World. Lucha Underground continues to make inroads. Jack Swagger is now a part of Lucha Underground, and the El Rey Network has issued a preview for this week's Lucha Underground. They'll have Johnny Mundo and the Worldwide Underground as they plot revenge in a Jack Evans put-up-or-shut-up challenge, and a new competitor comes from Lucha Underground Championship. Now, Phoenix, Jeremiah Crane, and Mil Muentes battle it out. They're calling it the three-way to the grave match. Phoenix, Jeremiah Crane, and Mil Muentes. Oh, that should be good. And I think we've talked about this before, but the WWE is expanding NXT. They'll have their own training facility in London now, NXT UK. The New Day appeared alongside Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks in the latest episode of Being the Elite. Now, there was a little bit of talk. Of course, they talk a lot about video games in that. But there was also talk about a possible match between the Elite, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, taking on the pancake-loving New Day. Nick told Kenny and Matt, the fans want it. I want it. Three athletes. Think about it. We can beat them at something else. Now, Matt does mention a wrestling match, but the video ends and we're kind of left hanging. Could this happen? Could Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks take on the New Day? Well, one person that it is kind of interesting to talk about here is none other than Triple H. Yes, Triple H this month said the WWE would be open to interpromotional opportunities with some other companies. Could that mean the Elite and the New Day? Axis TV. AXS TV has announced something called Women of Wrestling that will be coming out in 2019. It is produced by Lakers owner Jeannie Buss and will also be produced by Lucha Underground's Mark Burnett. 2019, be looking for Women of Wrestling.
Tonight, my name is Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens? The Kevin Owens wrestler, Kevin Owens?
Yeah, I hate to correct you, but it's actually huge WWE superstar Kevin Owens.
You are the guy, I'm telling you. I've been getting these tweets for the last couple of weeks. Like, really annoying, like, I guess charmingly annoying tweets for me to do the song When in the concert, and it's Kevin Owens who's been sending them. It's you! You are the guy. So, what is up with that?
I did send a few tweets your way, but mostly WWE fans sent tweets your way requesting for you to sing When tonight because it's my absolute favorite song, not just Shania Twain song, it's my absolute favorite song ever! So I figured, you know, I'm a fellow Canadian, I'm from Montreal, why not give it a shot and try to get your attention, and, you know, apparently it worked.
Who's your biggest rival?
Well, Shania, right now I'm actually having a lot of trouble with a fellow by the name of Braun Strowman. And, I guess that would be him.
Braun Strowman. Okay, so listen, if you can beat Braun Strowman, then the next time I'm in town, I will see you win.
Have you seen Braun Strowman? The guy is seven feet tall, like 500 pounds, maybe more. asking me to beat him? Come on. So now, seriously, I've been doing pretty well. I represent Canada as good as I can. I've won so many championships. That's got to be worth something, right?
Man, I feel like a woman.
And you know what? I have more Twitter followers than you do. Come on.
That's true. But you know what?
That don't impress me much.
Yeah, you know what? I was going to say that don't impress me much, but I do want to say that does impress me. You are awesome. You really are awesome, right? Kevin Owens. I know, but I will do it in my next concert.
I don't get to hear when necessarily, but I get to take a selfie on stage with Shania Twain at her concert at the Bell Center. I'll take it.
And finally, in our news segment today, WWE 2K19 will be coming out in October. And on the cover, the phenomenal one, AJ Styles. Now, the WWE is also running a contest about this, where you have a chance to win $1 million. I could use that, but I'm terrible at video games.
Hey, MSR.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, do you like geeky things?
I love geeky things, Chunky Larry.
How much do you love geeky things?
I would say at least a 7.
A 7? That's
yeah.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
I mean, I have a few places on the internet I go to.
Well, the one place you want to go on the internet is geeksoftheindustry.com, because it's got geeks at the beginning.
Oh, that's a good point. Geeksoftheindustry.com, you say. What is that? What is that about? What is that?
Well, you know, it's got a little bit of everything. It's got cartoons, movies, music, video games, wrestling. You know, anything that's geeky that you're into, you'll probably be able to find at geeksoftheindustry.com.
I can watch all of those things?
No. It's a podcast website. You listen to things.
Oh.
Ooh, podcasting. You can download them from the website, or you can, you know, subscribe to one of the shows on Stitcher or iTunes.
What was that website again?
That's geeksoftheindustry.com, my good friend.
I'm going to go right now.
Yeah, sorry, my brother. You've got to get your own.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess I was just trying to take over the world.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
It's a pile of trash.
It's Chris on the match.
I'm lost for words.
The original trash head, Chris Evans.
The guy didn't get cracked open. He wasn't really wrestling.
Chris on the match.
You can make people sit their butts in those seats. Your box office.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
You're changing your depends over to diapers.
And on today's edition of The Trash, we have Chris Evans, the original Trash Head, who will join us. How you doing, Chris?
It's a lovely day here in Statesville, North Carolina. The sun is shining, and I'm wearing all black and sweating so much, trying to get to 187 pounds. I'm almost there. Five more miles to go on this nice little walk I'm having. How's everything going with Turnbuckle Trash?
And you're walking in, and you're all in black?
Every last drop, from long sleeve shirt to BDU pants and military style boots. And I've got a belt on. It weighs about maybe 5 pounds. And I'm walking 5 miles. So, and it's a nice,
thinking about it. So.
Oh, yeah. But hey. That's what I got to do. I got to get this weight off of me. I'm getting better. So, what's going on with Turnbuckle Trash?
Well, pay-per-view Money in the Bank is in the history banks, and I thought overall I kind of enjoyed what happened to Money in the Bank. How about you, Chris?
I was shocked with the Money in the Bank. I couldn't believe who got the briefcase for the male side. I couldn't believe it. Of all the people, but. It was a shock. I had picked The Miz to win, and what do you know who won the pony? Here comes Braun Strowman.
Yeah, he's so, the monster in the bank. Give me a break. I do. I like Braun, but I think they're just going too far with this monster stuff. But I'm not the one who makes the decision, right?
No, but if we did make the decision, I think that. We all should be. I think the fans should decide. I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
Yeah, well, I thought we'd just kind of start slowly. Let people that don't know, I mean, we're not going to be doing any kind of spoilers now, because if you haven't seen Money in the Bank, you're probably not going to see it, but you might be interested in it. The Bludgeon Brothers in the pre-show beat Gallo and Anderson, the Good Brothers. Kind of another squash match. Don't know where they're going with the Bludgeon Brothers, except that Sanity has finally shown up at SmackDown Live, and I don't know whether they're going to be on a collision course or what, but that could be kind of fun if the Bludgeon Brothers and Sanity ever get together in the ring.
Oh, good Lord, that would be a heck of a back-and-forth, hard-fought match right there. I love the Bludgeon Brothers, and I like Sanity, although I've lost my sanity every time I watch Raw and SmackDown. Yeah, I like it. I think they would be really good. It's going to be a good tag team, and I pick Sanity if they ever decide they're going to defend, when they defend the titles for the Bludgeon Brothers against Sanity, I pick Sanity to prevail and probably win the tag team titles. And it would be nice to see that, but it's going to be it'd be very interesting to see that tag team, those two go at it. Very
it would be. Now, Eric Young, who's kind of the leader of Sanity, mm-hmm. he has been a mid-card guy, the comedy guy, the guy over at Impact for so long, a TNA Impact. They use him a lot in comedy roles, and mm-hmm. I think he's found his niche in this kind of crazy, just craziness, and just got that mean look about him, the beard. And if people don't know, he's also hosted a hunting and fishing show on, I think it's the Outdoor Channel. He's a big outdoorsman, and he's a really good wrestler. I've always liked his work.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was great in TNA. He was. What else can you say? He's paid his dues. He's done everything. He's been from a psychopath to now this right here. But it fits him so well. He looks like somebody, if you were walking down the street and you saw this man right beside you, would either wonder, well, I don't know if I'm going to make it down this way of the alleyway or this way of the alleyway, because that guy right there looks nuts.
But I'll just kind of walk right down the middle of the highway, you know?
not a problem. Well, he don't look too like he's not playing with the full deck.
He's probably
the one that, like, ate the deck. So, I mean, come on. He's a good wrestler, though. He is a good technical wrestler. He's a very good technical wrestler.
Also, in our first match, we had Daniel Bryan against Big Cass, and I wrote in my notes while I was watching it, when Daniel made Big Cass tap one more time, I was going, what in the world are they doing to Big Cass? And it comes out 2 days later, I knew what they were making with Big Cass. They cut him. They said, bye-bye, let's get out of here. Future Endeavor, Big Cass, what have you heard about that?
They even didn't wish him best future endeavors. They just said, get out. They didn't even do that to him. They said, they just grabbed his bag, threw it out, and said, guess what? We got new plans for you. It's called unemployment. So, but no,
what a shame.
It is, because he comes back from injury. Finally, he comes back from injury, has a feud with Daniel Bryan, and then his first pay-per-view, he's gone 2 days later. And from what I understand, Big Cass was having a lot of problems backstage with alcohol. He had done something on a European tour where he had gotten drunk and not assaulted a wrestler, but I mean, just pushed and shoved, and he was acting like an idiot. But we all know what alcohol does to you. It makes you into a 6 foot or 7 foot dummy. I mean, or as Jericho would say, you stupid idiot. So, I mean, come on. Big Cass deserves someplace else. TNA is going to call him, or maybe, and this is a big maybe, he needs to go after Enzo Amore, or whatever his name is, the rapper.
Amore. They're not talking anymore, though. They've had a falling out themselves between the two of them after Enzo's problem. And then Enzo was asked, pretty much after Big Cass, after his release from the WWE, he kind of said, you know what, we haven't talked very much in the past years because they had that big falling out themselves that was not storyline, that was personal. But Big Cass, I think it's a shame. I hope if it is alcohol-related, he can get some help and be able to control that. I'm not one, you know me your entire life. I don't drink.
Yep.
Mind if other people do. It's just when they get to the point of, like you said, being a 7-foot stupid idiot, then I think there's some sort of problem there. If you can't control what you're doing, you need to kind of look at yourself in the mirror. And I don't know that for a fact, but I did like his act in the ring. I liked his persona. A lot of people didn't think he could do the talk, but I thought he did great promos. I think he's talented.
Doesn't he remind you of Kevin Nash just a little bit?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, and his ring persona and everything. It was pretty cool. I kind of like him.
He kind of looks like Kevin Nash. He doesn't talk like Kevin Nash. But, he's good. But now that they have parted ways with the WWE, what better card to see on a AAA event than Big Cass and Amore or whatever they have, or Chef Boyardee, who knows what he's calling his rap name now. Those two go at it in the ring. Yeah, it's personal, but what better way to sell tickets than to see a real actual fight?
If they were looking at just making some money, what? Some promotion ought to pick them up and say, hey, you two, let's get you in the ring. And be professional about it and really play up that aspect. It's happened before. You look at Shawn Michaels, you look at Bret Hart. They had some personal issues. Kurt Angle, his issues with Double J, Jeff Jarrett. They brought him into the ring. It sold tickets, man.
Hell yeah, it sold a lot of tickets. But what did Jerry Jarrett always say in Memphis? Controversy creates cash.
Uh-huh.
And he always said that above the door. Controversy creates cash. Well, that's what's missing in the WWE. They need controversy. They need stuff like this to bring the fans back in. But with Big Cass, I'm really shocked that they let him go after all this stuff that they did with him. But, oh well, it was nice seeing you. See you in TNA in about 2 or 3 months. Let's see if you can do something there. Because I'm sure
Maybe he shows up in ROH and has a feud with someone like Punishment Martinez. That would be pretty daggum good, man. I would like that.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to see it.
I love me some Punishment, man. That dude is awesome.
He's got a heck of a ring entrance, and he can go. He can go. Yeah. I like him. But getting back to Cass, let's see what happens. I mean, he's a big old boy. I'm sure some promotion out there would just drool and say, I'll take you. What can you do? So open the checkbook and let's see what goes on. You never know. So.
Yeah. Well, we'll move on in the Money in the Bank. The Intercontinental Championship, Seth Rollins defeats Elias by a pinfall. Now, I'll tell you this, Chris. This past Saturday night, I got to walk with Elias.
Oh, you got to walk with him, huh? How was the
trip? I was on the 7th row on the floor, and I got to walk with Elias.
How was the walk? Was it a good one, or did he?
It was fun. It was fun. I mean, he did his little song in the ring and all that stuff. Now, by the way, Jagger Lane, who is also one of our trash heads, who is a professional wrestler out of Salt Lake City, and he actually was going to work out at the gym on Saturday afternoon, and guess who were there? The WWE superstars working out, and he had a picture that he posted on Facebook with him and Elias earlier in the afternoon. So, Scott, cool. A great guy. So thank you, Jagger Lane, for sharing that with us. But, you know, one thing I got to say, and this isn't anything personal against Seth Rollins. It's the way the announcers handle him. I am so tired of Michael Cole always going back to that old knee injury storyline. I wish I could sit. If I sat down and watched that match again, I think I would just count every time that Michael Cole or maybe the other announcer, Saxton or whatever the dude's name is, the other one, mentioned that knee injury. Oh, he left a bad knee. Oh, his knee is so bad. Remember, he hurt it. That was, what, 3 years ago? Drop it, dude.
Yep, it was.
It's beyond.
Well, I mean, they need something to talk about these days, and I guess the knee injuries, they want to keep bringing old stuff up. Yeah, it was bad for him to have that happen in the middle of the ring. And every day that Seth Rollins is there, they're afraid that it's going to happen again and again and again. And that's why they keep bringing it up. Okay, guys, storyline's over with. Don't bring it up anymore. Yeah. But I guess they keep ringing in their ears someone in the back to bring up the knee injury. Bring up the knee injury. Dude, stop. It gets annoying when you have to hear it 50,000 times.
Yeah, it just gets overkill. They're doing it on Monday Night Raw when Seth lost the belt to Dolph Ziggler. They did the same thing, and I was ready to scream at the TV, enough already, you know? And that's nothing against Seth Rollins. I mean, he's a great performer. I really enjoy his work, but that is a complaint about just the announcing of it. So it was Rollins winning the match, but he did lose the next night to one of my favorites, Dolph Ziggler. So Dolph Ziggler, the Zigzag Man himself, is now the Intercontinental Champion, as he did that on Monday Night Raw. I thought that was pretty good. So,
well, it's about time they put the belt back on Dolph. I was very happy to hear that Seth lost the belt to a person who was deserving the Intercontinental Champion, because they've been pushing Dolph Ziggler so down so low. His IQ is probably about the level of an eggplant right now. I don't know. Good Lord. They just keep burying that man. But a lot of people were hoping it wouldn't have been Dolph. They wanted, what was his name?
Drew McIntyre?
They wanted McIntyre. A lot of the fans wanted McIntyre to win the Intercontinental title, from what I understand. But, you know, Internet wannabe fans, they say, well, we want this and we want that. Well, that's fine. The WWE don't care.
Well, they're gonna do also, they're not the writing staff. They're not creative staff. You know, they're nothing but like us. They're fans. They know what they like. They know what they don't like.
They're marks.
They're marks. That's all they
are.
Marks. Yeah,
marks.
But sometimes as fans, I think that the WWE kind of ignores us a little bit. And does what they want. Anyway, back to Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
They had a great spot backstage with Kevin Owens and the New Day. As Kevin Owens was going around trying to get the guys from the New Day to help attack Braun Strowman at Money in the Bank, KO even brought in some pancakes, like a trash bag, you know, big old Glad bag full of pancakes. And even brought in syrup and everything. And, of course, the New Day, they thought that was awesome until they told Kevin Owens that they weren't going to cheat for him. And Kevin Owens said he didn't like pancakes.
Oh.
I thought Big E was going to have a heart attack. It was hilariously funny.
Well, I'm sorry. A lot of people don't take the New Day serious anymore. And I can understand why. I mean, pancakes and... like on WrestleMania, they had midgets dressed as pancakes walking out with them. And okay,
that was
that's
stupid.
Fine. But yes, it was stupid. But the thing of it is that when you look at Big E, you tell me, is that not a world champion material wrestler right there?
Uh huh.
Okay, what about Kofi Kingston?
One of my favorites.
WWE. Okay. Now, what's the other guy's name? That's how much I pay attention.
Xavier Woods.
Is he Intercontinental Champion? Is he Intercontinental Champion material?
Yes, he is.
U.S. Champion. Then why don't they just break these guys up? They need to. The New Day is getting old. It's getting old.
Let me tell you why they're not breaking them up.
Okay, go right ahead.
Remember the name of the pay-per-view, Money in the Bank?
Uh-huh.
They sell merchandise. They sell merchandise. And it is all about the money in the bank and how much money you can make in the bank for the WWE and for yourself.
And I think that's why the New Day isn't been broken them up yet. I really do.
Well, Big E was selling on eBay a pancake for $139. He called it the original New Day pancake.
Anything for a buck, man.
Anything for a dollar, yeah. This
can't, and I'm like, KO, I really don't like pancakes. Terrible. Who doesn't love pancakes, right? Well, I don't.
That's all right. Only at certain times, but not now.
Yeah. Well, we had a squash match right in the middle of everything when Bobby Lashley defeats Sami Zayn by pinfall. It was pretty much a squash match. Now, I wrote on my notes, I was saying, well, why did they do all this setup? And then it comes out that Sami had been dealing with some injuries, some pretty bad injuries that he needed some time off. And that's how they set up with him getting some time off. You know, he was claiming that he had vertigo, but, you know, that wasn't the truth. But evidently there is some kind of injury that he is dealing with. And now Lashley might be setting up some sort of program with him and Roman Reigns, which I would like to see.
And I hope
they'll do that.
I think they said something about Sami Zayn's going to be out until 2019.
Whoa.
I mean, this injury is pretty severe. I didn't get to read the whole article, but from what it said, that his injury is going to sideline him for until 2019.
Hmm.
So whatever it is, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we've already talked about this once. These guys are professionals in the ring, but, I mean, they can get injuries within a heartbeat that can basically put them in a wheelchair. So we'll see what happens with Sami. Good luck. Hopefully best in your future endeavors, son, if you decide to retire, which – be a good idea if you did, and come back as El Generico.
That would be fun. if he comes back as El Generico or beat up on Kevin Owens a little bit, that would be fun.
He'll come back as a Spanish mute. That doesn't make any sense. The Spanish mute.
We had the women's Money in the Bank that was really a fun match. Alexa Bliss defeats Sasha Banks, Ember Moon, Natalya, Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, Naomi, and Lana to win the briefcase, which she used later in the night and actually became the champion. I thought that was a great storyline right there.
I liked it. I did. I couldn't. I really didn't think they were going to let Alexa really win the Money in the Bank. I was kind of shocked, but that little diva, and boy, whew. I tell you what,
she is fine.
Whoever dates her is the luckiest man in the world that gets to roll over and say, wow.
I hate to be sexist, but she is hot. You know what I mean?
That's not sexist. That's the truth.
I tell you what, when she was there on Saturday night, my jaw was just going out. This is a good looking woman. And you know the one thing I will to get off the sexist comment here, I liked her use of ring psychology as the bad girl. The way just baits the people in and then baits the crowd and baits the referee. It's a great use of ring psychology. And I think that the critics of Alexa Bliss don't get that aspect of what professional wrestling is all about.
Well, she reminds me of the older generation, you know, the divas back in Raw, when Raw was really Raw. So, I mean, you had Trish Stratus, you had all these divas that had attitudes, and that when they turned heel, they were just vixens, and they wanted to scratch your eyes out. They just wanted to hurt you so bad. And Alexa is just like, she reminds me of a Trish Stratus. When Trish was a heel, she reminds me of Trish Stratus. So yeah, I was surprised that Alexa won Money in the Bank and then she cashed in, and I wasn't too happy with that match. You did. I wasn't too thrilled. I really wanted to see Ronda win the title, but oh well, life goes on. What can you do?
Well, I'm gonna tie this all together here because she did cash in that Money in the Bank later when she interfered with the match between Nia Jax and Ronda Rousey, and now Miss Bliss is the champion of the Raw brand. Mm-hmm. Now we're gonna move on to the SmackDown Live Women's Championship match with Carmella defeating Asuka via pinfall to retain her title. And they had a little twist in there that I really liked too, with the return of the man with no neck, the living turtle himself, James Ellsworth.
Oh,
that was
kind
of fun. I liked it.
It was good because I think no one really knew who was underneath that mask. I didn't know because when I saw the preview, when I saw the review of it, and I thought, well, maybe it's another diva. Maybe it's who could this be? And when he took that off my jaw, which he really doesn't have, my jaw hit the floor. I thought they brought him back. You're kidding me. No.
I loved it. I mean, honestly, I've never been an Ellsworth fan as far as that goes, but to have him come back in that type of match against Asuka and then wearing all the gear, hats off to creative there. They did a great job.
Well, yeah, they did. And with Asuka's reaction, like she just saw, it's like the ghost in Mr. Chicken. Her jaw hit the ground. Like, what the? No. But, yeah, it was interesting. And then it was good to see that. But you know what? Asuka needed to win the belt, but I guess, hey, two pay-per-views in a row, let's go ahead and just ruin your career like we can.
Well, I think eventually she will. I really do think that she'll win it. Maybe not the next one, maybe SummerSlam. Or I don't know when she'll win it, but she will win it eventually. But I want to take you to Monday Night Raw and SmackDown right after Money in the Bank. Because it showed how the WWE creative sometimes is not very creative. I'm going to play a little bit I put together. I call it, is it Carmella or is it Bliss? Listen to how similar the storylines are, the way they thank the crowd for letting them be the champion again and then turn on. It's almost the exact same script. So is it Mella? Or is it Bliss? We'll be right back with more on Turnbuckle Trash.
And now, on Turnbuckle Trash, is it Mella?
When I was younger, I dealt with a lot of self-confidence issues.
Or is it Bliss?
You're not giving me the opportunity to tell you, everyone in WWE, everyone here, everyone watching at home, thank you.
Yes, the WWE writing basically the same script for their two women's champions. This week on WWE programming, here is Little Miss Bliss.
Thank you all so much for the opportunity. The opportunity
really nice. What a humble champion.
See, this is the opportunity I'm talking about. The opportunity to rub it all in all of your faces.
And now, Carmella on SmackDown Live.
When I was younger, I dealt with a lot of self-confidence issues. I never felt like I was special. I never felt like I would ever just be good enough. And that was really, really hard for me. So I guess what I'm trying to say is I just want every young girl and boy out there who ever feels like they're just not good enough, I want you to take a look in the mirror. Take a look in the mirror and repeat these words. Mella is money!
Is it Mella?
So from this moment on, there's going to be no more talk of the irresistible force or the baddest woman on the planet. It's just about me.
Or is it bliss?
Me? Self-confidence issues? Are you kidding me? You think I was ever self-confident?
Is it bliss?
So the real lesson here is just give up.
Or is it Mala?
So from this moment on, there's going to be no more talk of the irresistible force or the baddest woman on the planet.
Yes, once again, we ask the hard questions here on Turnbuckle Trash.
Still hurts, doesn't it? Me? I've been moonwalking and trash talking since I was in freaking diapers. So the real lesson here is just give up. See, this is the opportunity I'm talking about. The opportunity to rub it all in all of your faces.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.